God's word read to us from Luke chapter 1.
Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favoured woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said before me come true." And then the angel left her.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. May it live to us today. May we see beyond the text of Scripture to the one who came for us. Amen. I saw my first Christmas tree this year in October. It was in the bowling alley at Ashton. I rushed past it quickly, not quite able to face what was in front of me. And then film distributors, in their wisdom, decided this year that the new version of The Grinch, the film, should be released in the middle of November. And the people who released it made an awful lot about the fact they were releasing it very early. One of the taglines in the advert said, "It's never too early to be annoyed by Christmas." For those of you who don't know the story of The Grinch, this is actually the third time that it has been filmed. There was a film quite a few years ago now starring Jim Carrey as The Grinch. It's the story of a rather strange creature who lives outside the village and who hates Christmas and is determined to spoil Christmas for everybody else, and therefore does a sort of reverse Santa Claus, going down the chimneys and stealing all the presents to try and remove all signs of Christmas from the village. And now I'm told that there is one TV channel today where, after you've gone home from church, if you want to, you can watch six Christmas films, one after the other, and it is still only December the 2nd. The idea behind the Advent candles, on the other hand, is that we should build up to Christmas gradually, that we should not rush in to having a party, but we should take things nice and slowly and think about what it is that we are celebrating before we actually get there. The latest casualty of this trend towards celebrating Christmas earlier and earlier has been the 12 days of Christmas, and actually finding that some organisations are celebrating the 12 days of Christmas before Christmas Day rather than afterwards. So lest there be any doubt, the 12 days of Christmas begin on December the 25th. That is when, according to tradition, the party ought to start. Some chance of that happening today. The Grinch tries to steal Christmas. There is a danger for us that Christmas will be stolen from us. Not because Christmas isn't going to happen, but because in all this frenzy, which already seems to have reached fever pitch all around us, we actually don't take the time to take it slowly and to think about what this is really about. And today, on this first Advent Sunday, our theme is the hope that Jesus brings. And so we have read together today the story written down almost 2,000 years ago in this ancient text called the Gospel according to Luke. And a story of an angel called Gabriel coming to a young betrothed or engaged woman called Mary and telling her that she is going to have a son. And we read about Mary's struggle to accept, but she does accept. This is what is going to happen. "I'm the Lord's servant," she says. "Let it be to me according to what you have said." And we take time today to ponder the hope of Christmas. So let's look at the things today that the angel said to Mary. I want to pick out three things from what he said to her. The first thing he said was, "He, Jesus, will be great." In fact, the Greek word here, I love this, the Greek word here is mega. He will be mega. That puts it into more contemporary language, doesn't it? He's going to be huge. He's going to be absolutely wonderful. And then the angel says to Mary, "He will be called the Son of the Most High," or "He will be called the Son of God." And the third one, "His kingdom will never end." That's our Advent hope today, that the kingdom that Jesus is bringing into the world, that we continue to pray for, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is going to win. So let's start off with this phrase, "He will be great." There are lots of people that the world considers great, but there are none who compare to Jesus. The thing about Jesus, though, is that he turns our ideas of greatness onto their heads. So time and time again through the Gospels, Jesus is compared to other people, and we are told that he is greater. "Are you greater than Jacob?" "Jesus is greater than Abraham." "Jesus is greater than David." "Jesus is greater than Jonah." And so it goes on. Jesus has this great level. He's mega. But it is a different sort of greatness to what people were expecting. And the process of really starting to grasp how great Jesus is not a simple one. Because when you first look at Jesus, he doesn't add up to what we expect greatness to be. So he says to us, "If you want to be great in my kingdom, you've got to become like a little child. If you want to be great in my kingdom, you have to be the servant of all. If you want to be great, you've got to take up your cross and follow me." Because Jesus died upon the cross. So if we come to Jesus and we think, "Wow, this is great, Jesus is mega," the time will come when we start to think, "I'm not quite sure that I like this sort of greatness. This is not the sort of greatness that I was looking for." If it says on the posters for the Grinch, "It's never too early to be annoyed by Christmas," let me say on Advent Sunday, it's never too early to be annoyed by Jesus. It's never too early to read the story of Jesus and to think, "This isn't quite the God that I was looking for. This is a greatness that makes me small. What kind of greatness can this be that chose to be made small? The more small, the more I hear the story told, the more amazed I am." And I invite you today, as most of us here today, people who believe in Jesus, to bow down before him, to admit his greatness, and to let Jesus teach us what greatness is actually about. Because until we understand, we're always going to struggle. Until we understand, we're always going to look out at the world and think, well, how come it's still like this? God, why aren't you doing anything? And Jesus says, no, I am great. Because Jesus goes to that cross with all his friends, all his supporters, all his followers thinking, this is failure. He goes in thinking that that's what it looks like. And then he rises from the dead. And the scripture says that God has made this Jesus, who was crucified, both Messiah and Lord. And he says to his church, now you go and be great, just like I am great. Calls us to be like him. Calls us to be his followers. Calls us to be people who become great by becoming small, believing that just as God raised Jesus from the dead, so he will raise us as well. So before we get into too much partying, before it gets so exciting, before we rejoice at this newborn baby, let's ponder what it means to follow him. Let's ponder what it means when it says he will be great. The second thing that the angel says is he will be called the Son of the Most High, or he will be called the Son of God. And as Luke's gospel goes on, it tells us that Jesus had this unique, incredible relationship with his Father. That from his early days, he knew that his real father wasn't Joseph, but it was God himself. So at age 12, Jesus is in the temple and his parents can't find him. The last place they expect him to be was in the temple. And Jesus says to them when they eventually find him, didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? And then as Jesus is baptized, he sees the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove from heaven. And this voice comes from heaven. You are my Son. With you I am well pleased. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, where the disciples get a glimpse of who Jesus really is, Jesus in all his glory, and his friends are just reduced to wrecks because they just don't know how to react to this. The voice from heaven speaks again. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. And at one point in Jesus' story, where he actually begins to think that his disciples are getting it, he praises God that God has revealed something to them. And he says this, nobody knows the Father except the Son. And nobody knows the Son except that the Son is revealed to them. It's about revelation. It's about Jesus having this incredible relationship with the Father and him saying to other people, I want you to have that relationship too. So if Jesus is God's Son today, then our response is to say, Lord, I want the sort of relationship with God that you had. I want to know you. I want to understand you. I want the truth about you to be revealed to me. Not just because it's in the book, not just because it's what we believe, it's our doctrine, but because this is real relationship and because this is real knowledge with God. And then the angel says, his kingdom will never end. You know, today, that Advent candle is saying to us that the kingdom of God is coming. It doesn't give us permission to dance around and say that everything in the world is fine, because everything in the world is very clearly not fine. But the message was that just as once Israel was a kingdom and just as once they had a king who tried to represent God in the world, so now there is one true king who truly does represent God in the world. And so the story of the New Testament goes on until in the book of Revelation, as it is looking forward, it says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever. And today we are called to express a simple trust that that is true, and to see what that means in terms of the way we are to live today. In the first century, when the angel came to Mary, the Roman Empire was in control. The Roman Empire was taking control of large parts of the whole world, or at least the world as it was known then. It seemed to be invincible. Of course, Jesus is born around the time that the Romans call this census. And the census did lots of things, but one of the things it did was said, we are in charge around here. And today, with Brexit going on, with politicians still standing and jockeying for position, let's remind ourselves today that there is one who is greater than all of these, and that it is his kingdom that is coming. And that everything that we do for him is not in vain. Why is it worth putting up or creating this night shelter for Oldham during the cold winter months? It's worth it because the kingdom is coming. Why is it worth doing all the stuff with Food Bank? Because the kingdom is coming. Could we do these things without the hope of the kingdom? Of course we could. Many people do good things without that hope. But we do these things with hope that there is a greater story going on. You know, when Jesus fed those 5,000 people, he didn't solve the whole world's problems at the time, but it mattered. It was part of the expansion of the kingdom of God. And when we seek to obey him and to do the things that please him, when husbands seek to love their wives, wives seek to love their husbands, when parents seek to bring up their children in a godly way, when we notice the people who are otherwise put out and do something about it, we are saying God's kingdom is coming. We are saying that we believe that this is where the earth is going. You know, the Emperor Augustus, he called himself Savior of the world. He called himself Son of God. And in a backwater of his empire, a boy was born who changed everything forever. I've been reading this book recently, Irresistible, by Andy Stanley. And he tells this story, and this story really struck me. I had heard it before, but as I read it, it really struck me in a new way. And he talks about being in the Colosseum in Rome. And the Colosseum was the place where, amongst other things, the Christians were sent out for the lions to eat them. It was a center of horrific persecution. And he was doing the tourist trail and going round, and the guide was explaining all the gladiatorial stuff and everything that has gone on there. And he said that as he was going round, he saw something that nobody else noticed. He said he looked up and he saw this huge cross. And he was so moved by seeing this cross, he just stopped to look at it. And he then had to sort of hurry to catch up with his tourist guide. And he said, "Excuse me, but what is that cross doing there? Why is there a cross in the Colosseum?" And the tourist guide had never noticed it before. And Andy Stanley says, mind you, in fairness, Yeah, there are lots of crosses all over Rome. You probably don't notice them after a while. But he said he just got fascinated by this. Why is there a cross in the Colosseum? So he did his research, and he discovered that in the 18th century, the Colosseum was in a terrible state. It was derelict, and there was a move to demolish the Colosseum. And what saved the Colosseum in the 18th century was that the Pope declared it to be a memorial for the Christian martyrs who had died there, and he put up this cross as a symbol for it. And Andy Stanley says, 18 centuries after Jesus was born, at a time when the Roman Empire was taking all ahead of it, 18 centuries later, the Roman Empire is nothing. It's just history. Other empires have come, and other empires have gone, but the cross of Jesus stands over everyone. Who would have thought it would have been somebody who believed in Jesus, who saved a remnant of the Roman Empire? And the kingdom of God stands. The kingdom of Jesus continues to advance. Yes, it takes its knocks here and there, but we continue to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, or the Son of God, and his kingdom will never end. Can we respond this morning like Mary responded? "Let it be to me according to your word." Mary said a big yes to what God wanted to do in her life. And as we go on through this story over the next few weeks, we'll see what she said about that. But she believed and she said yes to God. And when Mary said to the angel, "How will it be?" he said, "Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you." And we say to God this morning, "God, we want to be part of your kingdom. Lord, we believe that your kingdom is coming. We believe that your kingdom will triumph. And Lord, we want to live in that hope. We want to bring that hope to other people." So, just as God sent his Holy Spirit to Mary, and unbelievable things happened, so our prayer today can be, if we choose to pray it, that God will send his Holy Spirit to us afresh today. We can take Mary as our example. As somebody who, for most of her life, well, up to this point anyway, was not particularly different to anybody else, but who said yes to God at the moment that it mattered. So let's ask God today that through the power of his Holy Spirit, he will teach us about Jesus and what greatness really looks like. Let's pray. Lord, we bow before the greatness of Jesus today. We bow before the one who came into our world, born to the Virgin Mary, born and laid in a manger because there was no room for him. The one who was greater than all who came before him, yet died on that cross. The one exalted as Lord and Messiah. Father, we pray, show us the greatness of Jesus. Show us how we share his sonship with you. Show us about the Holy Spirit coming upon us and making us new. I guess for many of us, when we go out from here today, it will be back into rush. So let's take a moment to be quiet and pray our prayers to the Lord today. Lord, in your mercy, hear us. Amen.